This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Tonight, the NBA on TNT Eastern Conference Finals, with the winner of this series going to the NBA Finals for the first time in a quarter of a century. Nesmith three. Good! Got it! That makes it an 8-point game with 2 minutes to go. Nesmith again. Three. Got it! He's a flamethrower! Nesmith, it's a three. It's a 2-point game on a 16-4 run by Indiana.
Tyrese, I know it's not your goal, but you keep entertaining us. We got to go back to end of regulation.
Thought it was a three, tried to hit the celly, and it didn't work, but we finished it in overtime, so, man.
And you had to do the choke sign, too, right?
Yeah. Everybody's been wanting me to do it. I was going to hold it for the right time. That felt appropriate.
Halliburton. He'll take it. He'll backpedal a three, and... Oh! He got it!
We're going to be going to overtime.
We sure are.
Reggie Miller giving the choke sign.
With all the incredible advice that Reggie Miller has given you and your personal relationship with him, was go for the kill, always go for the three and the win, one of them?
Nah. Just go win the game.
And the game is over, and Indiana has won, coming back and captured game one of the Eastern Conference Finals on the road in the Garden.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Last night was sportsing at its absolute best at Madison Square Garden. And yeah, as a kid born in the 70s who grew up in the Jordan era, something clicked last night for me.
You are not alone in this regard.
Something that was buried very deep and just kind of was like, oh yeah, remember that? Remember, you don't like the Knicks. You don't like them, and you're going to be happy that they lost this game.
But you didn't like the Pacers either.
I know.
You didn't like the Davis brothers and Reggie Miller.
I know.
Speaks. The Davis boys, excuse me.
Speaks. I know. And for the most part, people who listen to the Score know that I've buried a bunch of this stuff down. Throughout my time of being a reporter, you have to let go some of that stuff. But I'm not a reporter anymore. And when it comes to the basketball beefs of my childhood, something just clicked. This wasn't initially the reason that we were going to ask Chris Herring to be on the show. We just thought it was kind of cool that the Knicks and the Pacers We're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's written the definitive book on the Knicks of the 90s in Madison Square Garden, Blood in the Garden, the flagrant history of the 1990s New York Knicks. If you don't own it, you need to. It is a great book, and there's all sorts of good Jordan stories inside of it. Chris Herring now joining us here on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Chris, I was talking with everyone before the show, and I feel like you're too young, even though you grew up here, to have the same animus that I have for the Knicks, and especially since you covered them, you lived there, like you were embedded in all of this. How did you view last night?
From the arena and just the dead silence that kind of absorbed everything, it was kind of an increasing devastation that the crowd was feeling and a nervousness that was in the arena. I've covered the Knicks. You know, I didn't get an era that was as flush with playoff appearances as the 90s, but I had the Carmelo era. They played the Pacers during one of those years, the year that they were a two seed and were taken out by the Pacers. But this was just a different level. And I imagine on some level, this had to have been what it felt like the first time Reggie really did something like this to the Knicks. It just was eerily quiet in there to the point that when the Knicks were taking free throws, that they botched a lot of them towards the end of the game, similar to those games in the 90s. Fans at the Garden, which is one of the most raucous environments in the whole league, were shishing other fans throughout the arena, as if that makes it less anxiety-filled and less pressure-filled. And again, they blew a lot of those free throws, but I've never heard the Garden like that before. And what makes it stranger, and I was actually just explaining this to my wife a little while ago, is not the biggest basketball fan, but just in general, the fact that Halliburton hits a shot that looks like a game winner and that he assumes is a game winner because he does the choke signal, and that doesn't end it. It actually just puts it into overtime. So the Knicks still have a chance and still don't get it done. It just kind of felt like they were done when it went to overtime in the first place, to be honest with you, because they just felt like they were hanging on so desperately to just try to avoid losing. And Josh Hart admitted that after the game, where he said, we were trying not to lose, and we lost a little bit of intensity there as the game was playing out. We just got too tight. So just a hell of a win from the Pacers, a really devastating loss for the Knicks, and leaves me very curious about where stuff stands for game two.
Man, your description of the vibes in that place as the thing falls apart, because we've seen the Knicks be the team that forces their way back one possession at a time in this postseason and makes the Celtics crumble. The freaking mighty Celtics crumbled. So was this on Tom Thibodeau? We're familiar with Tom Thibodeau miscalculations late in games in this town. We've even seen him in this playoffs. Or was, as Josh Hart says, was it on them? Like how did this go down? Who gave Aaron Nesmith all that room, Chris?
I'm not going to put much of it on Thibodeau. I will say I thought he used this challenge really poorly. And credit to him in this regard. The Knicks won challenges at the highest rate in the league this year, so he's been good with it for the most part. I thought they used one in a spot that was kind of a foolish place to use it on a Jalen Brunson foul. Now, granted, he had foul trouble. He ended up with five. But here's where I'll further take it off of Thibodeau to some extent and why this loss is so particularly devastating for the Knicks. They lost Jalen Brunson to a fifth foul with 10 minutes left in regulation. They pull him out of the game with a 2-point lead, 94-92. They then go on a 14-0 run with Jalen Brunson on the bench, which to me is massive because the Pacers have a deeper roster than the Knicks do. So if the Pacers can't win those non-Brunson minutes, they're in trouble in the series. If the Knicks win the minutes where Brunson is out, that's a huge plus for them because I feel like that's one of their biggest weaknesses in the series. So they win that to take a 16-point lead. They were up by as many as 17 in the fourth, and they still find themselves just fighting to hold on to a lead in the fourth when Brunson comes back. That's what doesn't really track for me. That is where I think the Knicks got a little bit too comfortable and were a little bit thrown off. And if you look back at those Reggie Miller games, the one where he has the 8 points in 9 seconds, the one where he has the 25 points in that fourth quarter with the Spike Lee entanglement, if you want to call it that, the Knicks looked so shell-shocked in those moments where they were making uncharacteristic mistakes, missing free throws. That was exactly what this looked like. And I can't really put that on Tom Thibodeau for them not closing the game out. Jalen Brunson looked as if he was kind of looking for an out and looking for fouls. And in fairness, there were some that could have been called on Nesmith where he's really in Jalen Brunson's body. But if I'm Nesmith, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to force the issue, make them call a foul on me. If they're not going to call a foul on me, if I bother Brunson enough, he may throw a shoulder at me and get a sixth foul. It's exactly what he should have been doing. And I can't put any of that on Thibodeau. The team has to – the Pacers were 6-for-6 in the last 2:45 of this game and score 14 points in the last 2:45 of this game. All the Knicks needed to do was have them miss one shot, force one miss, force one turnover, or make one shot. And none of those things happened at the end of the game, or one more free throw, for that matter.
That's what I was going to say. Make one more free throw, and you're probably not in the same situation. I want to change our lens here for a second, because we are talking about this from the perspective of the Knicks. Let's talk about it from the perspective of the Pacers. Indiana has been doing this. They have been running teams down all season long and all playoffs.
But last year, they made the conference finals last year, Lawrence. Keep going.
They run you down. They play at their speed. Why is this team in the position that they're in?
I think there's two reasons. One, and it's funny because I credit the Knicks with this most of the time too, but yesterday was obviously a reversal. They're really good in the clutch, and they've shown that repeatedly. I used to love this about the Kings before they started blowing stuff up and they trade De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown. Games where the score is so tight and the game slows down so much, teams slow down, and I think that readily advantages a team like the Knicks most of the time because they play at one of the slowest paces in the league anyway. Every moment feels like clutch time to them because Jalen Brunson winds the clock down and kind of wants those shots and is used to taking the one-on-one possessions and making the most of them with his footwork and everything else. That normally benefits the Knicks. What makes the Pacers different is teams can lose their offensive flow to some extent when they start trying to basically four corners it, when they start to kind of spread everybody out and just slow the game down and try to run the clock out. And that was more or less what the Knicks acknowledged trying to do yesterday, especially when stuff got really tight. The Pacers continue to play their offense, and they play at one of the fastest paces like those Kings did. And even if you look at that one play in overtime where the Knicks were down one, it was 136-135, the Pacers were in a position where they expected the Knicks might foul with 15 seconds left, and the Knicks looked like they wanted to foul but didn't commit to it all the way. And if you look back at that play, they end up getting an Obi Toppin dunk that was like a backdoor pass. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty clear Mikal Bridges fouled him, by the way, on the dunk. The three guys involved in that play, I think, were Nimhard, Nesmith, and Obi Toppin. They used Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam as decoys. They went completely outside of what their normal offense would look like because they really are a deep team and they want to throw you off with the way you're thinking. You're expecting that one of those two guys is going to have the ball and they're outside of the play. And so they're continuing to play their offense, but through guys you're not used to seeing it with, they keep you off balance. And I think teams that run that hard and play that fast for that long and overtime in the last 15 seconds of an overtime keep you off balance in a way that the Knicks aren't keeping you off balance with Jalen Brunson, aside from his footwork, whatever he's able to make happen. But that's a lot of pressure to do that play after play after play after play and to do it with five fouls when you might actually hit someone and knock them out of the way because they're pressuring you for 94 feet. So that's what I would say makes the Pacers different and what makes them so capable of making these comebacks is other teams tighten up and start going outside of what their normal offense looks like. The Pacers stay within it, and they're playing faster than teams are used to.
Boy, it's nice to hear Chris Herring talk basketball right here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show on The Score. His book, Blood in the Garden, is the flagrant history of the 90s New York Knicks. While Lawrence's Knicks hate was regenerated, I still have, I guess more so before last night, envy for the Knicks fans and the collective of the former players that's happening there. Forget the celebrities. Can you run down as many of the former players as come to your mind that you've seen as a part of this playoff thing and which ones resonate with the fans the most as you're watching the vibes?
Oh, yeah. This is easy. I mean, for the last year or two now, Ewing has been there where they have the on-court promotions and the half-court shots and they try to bring Ewing out there to pump guys up. He's there. Starks is there. Latrell Sprewell is there. Larry Johnson, who had the four-point play in this series, has been there. they have guys that are kind of not quite of that era and not quite of that level of popularity, like Tim Thomas, who's been a lot of the games, but they brought back Charlie Ward yesterday. Trying to think who else has been there. They
Bernard
bring back
King.
Some of the old timers. Bernard King is at most of the games. Clyde Frazier was sitting there courtside, and actually a drink was spilled right at his feet when they cleaned it up underneath Jalen Brunson. Bill, why am I blanking on his name? The presidential candidate who was also the senator
Bradley.
From the 70s teams was there. Bill Bradley was there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I've been there for quite a few of the games. Stephon Marbury has been there. Carmelo Anthony was sitting right over there by Clyde Frazier. Amari Stoudemire was there. It really is kind of a who's who of recent and old-time Knicks players, but they're very proud of this team. And I think that was, again, what was so striking about it is it was just dead silent in that arena. And even walking out of the arena as the game ended, the stairwell, which normally reeks of weed and people just high-fiving and yelling F. Trae Young and F. Tyrese Halliburton and everything else, was dead silent walking down. It was like nothing I've ever witnessed there at that arena. Just bizarre, but also tells you how spooked and kind of haunted I think this franchise is a little bit by what Reggie Miller did. And for him to be in the building as it was happening with another guy wearing the same jersey is just nuts. And it's a very uptight fan base that feels like they're on the cusp of something, but feels that maybe being ripped away at the same time.
It's fascinating, Chris, to watch, like, because New York thinks of itself as the mecca of basketball. And I understand that to a certain extent, but it's been a long time since they've been really relevant as far as championship level basketball goes. So seeing them seeing fans at watch parties in Manhattan for the Eastern Conference semifinals, it seems so different from what we would expect from New York fans, that there should be a higher level of difficulty that they would want their team to reach before being a part of that celebration. It's a very strange thing. It is both kind of like, oh, we're the little engine that could, and also we are the Knicks, and this is the way that it should be. We should be crowned as the kings of the NBA. It's very weird.
This is, you know, literally as I'm on with you guys, my best friends are texting me. I know they're listening, and they went to HF as well. And I know for a fact this is what one of them absolutely hates about the Knicks. Hands down, what he hates is that, like, which one is it? Pick a lane. You don't get to be the little engine that could, but also be the most valuable franchise in the sport. So there is some of that for sure. I feel like even last night when we were walking down the tunnel stairs, there were fans who recognized me from the book and just from covering the scene. They're like, do you still think we have a chance? And it's that's not most fans. I want to be clear in saying that that's not most fans. But the last time I remember being asked that in that way was when the year that the Raptors got Kawhi Leonard. And it's, I think Canadians sometimes have that to them of like, tell us you like our team a little bit, just a little bit. And it's like, tell us we have a chance. And in fairness, they did. Obviously, they won the title that year. They're not used to being the focus of American media, the Raptors. But the Knicks, I mean, like, they're going to, you know, if they make the finals, are going to be the team that I think a lot of people are rooting for, because I think America tends to root for teams that have had droughts. I wonder what that looks like when it's New York, because I think there are a lot of people that are programmed to say, absolutely not, I'm not rooting for them. But I think that there would be something to be said for, like, we like to see teams win it for the first time in a fan's lifetime. And, you know, obviously I'm talking to you all in Chicago, and that is, you know, we all know about that with the Cubs and the White Sox and what have you. 52 years is not as long as what the Cubs and the White Sox endured, but it is a long time. And I do think there's some of that, but there's a lot of PTSD there. And I think that's what last night showed as it relates to the Pacers. And it is fascinating that these are two teams that thrive at the end of games, but to see the Pacers do what they did yesterday is crazy in light of what we've seen in the last several weeks.
So you would be a good person to ask this to, because we were kicking it around in transition earlier. What's the team fan base comp for Chicago? Because it doesn't really feel like the Bulls. It feels a little more like the Bears. In terms of unification,
which is crazy considering that the Nets are there. And
yeah, but you've got like the Giants and the Jets are across town, and there's a split there.
Yeah,
you know, so like what franchise is the comp in terms of Chicago for the rabid nature of the fan base?
I think you nailed it. I think it's the Bears. I've thought about that as someone that's covered, you know, teams here. It's the Bears because you have enough of a split between the Cubs and the White Sox fans in Chicago. You have enough of a split for those things here as far as the football teams here and the baseball teams, by the way. But they're everybody here for the most part. Like, to give you a full example of it, if you go back a few years, that year that the Nets had Harden and Durant and Kyrie Irving, if I'm remembering correctly, they were discounting their playoff tickets to help sell them.
Wow.
They had to do that. And that's because, like, Nets fans are not, like, they weren't adding a bunch of fans because those guys were there. The tickets there were still cheaper. They still weren't getting nearly as much media attention as far as, you know, the games that they had on television. There were some, but they were still looking for any reason to put the games on national TV for the Knicks, basically. You know, and that is something that I think is just explained by the market. They tried very hard to make them cool through the branding and through the jerseys and through the arena, which it's a beautiful arena. They tried to do it through Jay-Z's ownership. You don't have to try to do any of that with the Knicks. And I think that was something where I think a lot of people viewed them. They used to be in a different state. And to bring them into the city, they viewed it as a form of gentrification that they were brought into the city the way they were from Jersey. So I think the comp is the Bears because they don't have a natural competitor in the same market. I know the Nets exist, but to a lot of Knicks fans, not really.
Yeah, and it's funny too, Chris, because there's also some weird divide between Bulls fans and Blackhawks fans here. It's really strange. It's a very strange thing that one could look into in a lot of different ways, for sure. Chris, thanks for the time. Who are your friends from HF? Shout them out.
I'm going to, because I know they're going to be happy. Nick Foote and Marcus Wordlaw, who went to HF with me, were a couple of my best man and my groomsman that was standing right behind him. So I really appreciate them and appreciate it. I texted them as I was on with y'all, like, I'm on if you guys are able to listen. They're like, listening now. So they're big fans, and I appreciate them being as supportive as they are, and for you letting me shout them out.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn to trust HF guys, you know?
Yeah, pretty good.
You've got a good one on there with you now.
I don't know.
I mean, Chris Herring, me.
Jason Benetti.
Chuck Scarfine.
There is a chance this doesn't end up on Awful Announcing.
That's right.
That's right.
Rodney Harrison?
No, Marion guy. Don't ever say that.
My bad.
I was about to say. Wait a minute.
No, that's like Paul Papps. Like we don't mess with the Marion guys. That's not how it rolls at all. Chris, be well, man. Thanks for doing this.
You too. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.